The Rabbeinu Yosef Bechor Shor, in his commentary to the Torah, gives a very interesting explanation of the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu in regards to bringing water to the Jewish people. Unlike other commentaries, Yosef Bechor Shor says that in fact Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to hit the rock, but at the same time he was supposed to speak to the Jewish people and tell them explicitly that the water was coming as a result of a miracle directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, instead of telling them clearly that this water was going to be brought by miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, "Min ha'sela hazel notzi lachem mayim? Do you think that we can bring you water from this rock?" His intention was that, of course, we can't bring it, but God is going to bring it. But since he didn't say it clearly, the people thought that he was in doubt himself whether they could bring water or not. And therefore, the full sanctification of God's name by making it clear to the Jewish people that, in fact, the water came to them directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that full sanctification wasn't achieved, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. He explains with this that later on, where the Torah speaks about the song they sang when the water appeared from the rock, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned. It says that the Jewish people sang, but not Moshe. Since Moshe sinned and was punished because of this, he wasn't part of the song. However, it says there that the water was brought by hitting the rock. And if hitting the rock was in fact the sin, why would the Torah mention a sin that Moshe Rabbeinu did in a positive way? Must be that the hitting of the rock was not a sin. He was supposed to hit the rock. The problem was that he didn't accompany that hitting with an explicit description of where the water was coming from. Based on this, we can understand that we have a responsibility to others and to ourselves to make it clear that everything in this world is a product of God's divine providence, and everything that we enjoy and everything that happens is a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's doing. Could be that this is the idea of the 100 blessings every day, and why blessings have to be very specific. Because the Torah says, Mo Hashem Elokecha Shor Mimach. What does God want from you? And the rabbis say, don't read Mo, but Meyah, 100. God wants 100 blessings. The idea being that each blessing, being very, very specific, enunciates to us and clarifies to us that the thing that we're making the blessing on comes directly from God, whether it be a mitzvah, whether it be something that we enjoy or something that we are inspired by and seek. All of these things reveal to us God's presence and involvement in the world. In fact, this world is called Olam. Olam means ne'alam, hidden. And our job is to reveal God who is hidden in the world in every one of its aspects. With this, we can understand another medrash. The Torah says, Al kein yom uhamo. The Torah says, Al kein yomru hamoshlin bo cheshbon, kibona v'sikonin ir sichon. Those who make analogies say, come to the city of Cheshbon, build and promote the city of Sichon. The Gemara comments on this sentence, Al kein yomru hamoshlin, those who rule over their inclinations, say to the world, let us make the accounting of the world. Schar mitzvah keneged hefseda, the hefsed aveira keneged schar. Make the accounting of the reward for the mitzvah opposite its loss, and the reward of an aveira opposite its loss. The idea being, cheshbono shel olam, the accounting of the world. This is a world, again, where things are hidden. And in order to see clearly God's presence, we have to make that accounting and be able to see how the mitzvah is that which is proper, no matter how much of a loss it seems to incur, and how much the aveira is something improper, no matter how much one thinks he'll gain by doing that aveira. Interestingly enough, the Rabbeinu Yosef Bechor Shor explains a simple meaning of the sentence with which we can derive a deeper meaning to the allegorical explanation. Rabbeinu Yosef Bechor Shor says that before the city of Cheshbon was conquered by Sichon, it belonged to Moab. And while it belonged to Moab, because of the constant threat that Sichon would come and invade the city, people didn't want to live there. So the city never developed. But after Sichon conquered the city, because now there was no longer any kind of threat, it belonged to Sichon anyway, so therefore the city now thrived, developed, and flourished. Perhaps we can use this idea to explain the allegory. We do mitzvahs because mitzvah is a proper thing to do, and we don't do averas because it's not the proper thing to do. But those that can see this world very, very clearly, those who already rule over their inclinations, tell us very clearly that it's just not that the mitzvah, the benefit outweighs the detriment. And by an avera, the benefit outweighs the detriment. But rather, bo cheshbo, make the following accounting, where you can take the olam, that which is hidden, and reveal what is really there. Schar mitzvah, the reward of the mitzvah keneged hetzera. It doesn't say schar mitzvah keneged onsha. The schar of the mitzvah opposite its punishment, but keneged hetzera, the loss, meaning the following, that the reward of the mitzvah seems to be balanced out or counterbalanced by the loss that one incurs. But if you make the tally, the reward outweighs the detriment. That's not the case. Just the opposite. The detriment itself makes the reward even greater. That which appears to be a reason why the city of Sichon should not have flourished, in the end became the reason why it did flourish. The reason why one would think he's losing by doing this mitzvah is exactly the reason why he gets more and more reward. Because mikum sara agra, the more difficulty, the more reward. Same thing with the avera. Not doing an avera, and the reward you'll get for not doing it, is commensurate to how difficult it is, how much you're going to lose by not doing it. So it's not only that the benefits of the mitzvah outweigh the detriments, but the detriments themselves are part of the benefit. And that is when you see the world clearly. That's how you can see God's involvement in mitzvahs and averas, when you can see that the mitzvah is total benefit, even what appears to be detriment, and the avera is total detriment, even what appears to be beneficial. It is therefore our job to take this world where God is hidden and to in every way expose and reveal God's presence in everything that we encounter and everything that we do.